Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on June 11, 2013, at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 9 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, perception. This week's story comes to us from Howard Kingston and is titled, Don't Pick Up the Ball. Thank you for listening.
Well, you know, I'm an actor and a singer, and this is really terrifying to me because I'm on the stage all the time but never doing this. I was born at a very early age in England, Manchester, 1953. There's another wanker. That makes, if you do your math, that makes me 60. I just turned 60. But I'm doing okay, doing all right. I had a fairly okay childhood. My parents were divorced when I was 2, which was unusual for a Jewish family and back in those days. But yes, I'm Jewish and English. Try to figure that one out. I was brought up by my stepfather, who was a very gentle man, lovely man, who died a few years ago. My mother still lives in Israel. My father still lives in Liverpool, where the Beatles come from. I was okay, you know, I was a good kid. I had an okay. I was fairly scared. I was scared of everything, pretty much. But I was a good student, mostly because I was scared of not being a good student. And I was 14 in 1967. I joined a rock band with some friends I met in the art department in my grammar school. And they were very cool. I was not cool, but they were cool. And I learned about being cool. So I became a singer in a rock band. I always wanted to be a singer. And now I am a singer, so that's cool. I went on, I skipped college. I got kicked out of grammar school for being a revolutionary. My hair was like half as long as it is now, but it was enough to get me kicked out of grammar school. Joined a rock band, guys from Cambridge, England, and was with a rock band for 8 years. It's a long story. This is all backstory to the real story. We actually did very well. We got on national BBC radio, and it was good. Everything was looking good. We got on a national TV program called So It Goes with the Sex Pistols, and we almost made it. We were about to be signed by a big record company, and then the guitarist got asked to be in a rock band called 10cc, which was a pretty big band at the time. And so everything went to shit. And I was left in end of 1976 with no career. I hadn't been to college. So I was, you know, to all extents, unemployable. Started reading. Went back to my native Manchester. Started reading a lot. The guitarist who had been assumed in this rock band, 10cc, had started. For some reason, he'd met this woman who was a student of a guru called Gurdjieff. I don't know if anybody's heard of Gurdjieff. Some people may have. But anyway, it's a system of thought. Anyway, Rick, the rock band guitarist, had joined this group in London. I went down with some new music that I had been doing, and I played it to him, and he goes, William, he started talking about objective and subjective. So this is about perception. And he was like dismissive of the music, saying it's very subjective, blah, blah, blah. He said, I quizzed him about this. I said, what is it that you're talking about? I don't really understand what you're talking about. What's the difference between subjective and objective? He wouldn't tell me. He said, you need to go read this book. And the book was called In Search of the Miraculous by a Russian author called P.D. Ouspensky, who was a mathematician who had written a lot of stories, a lot of books about the fourth dimension. So I went, I left him because I was, of course, I was vain and still am, and was interested in my own music. And he said, no, fuck your music, go and read this book. And I left him and I went into Kew Gardens. He was living in London at the time. He was on a £200 a week retainer, which was a good deal in those days. And I went into Kew Gardens and was thinking about what he said about subjective and objective, and it just blew my mind. This was 1967. I went back. He told me the name of the book. I went back to Manchester. I got on the bus because I was poor, and went back to Manchester. Took 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever, from London. Found the book, read it, sat down in a chair and read it for 3 days, nonstop. Didn't go to bed, just read this book. The premise of the book, I'm not going to go into the whole details of this system of thought, but it's called The Fourth Way, and it's about perception, it's about consciousness, it's about identity, who we are as human beings. And the premise is, again, this is not the forum to talk about what this system of thought is about, but it's about human existence and about consciousness, about perception. I read it and was blown away by it. The next couple of years, I was trying to find out. I read a lot more about consciousness, about, you know, I mean, I wasn't into, like in the 60s, a lot of people were into Eastern mysticism and Buddhism, Hinduism, I mean, the Beatles, the Stones, I mean, all these people were into it. I could care less about it, but I was really fascinated at this point. And read this book, came to the point where it says, man does not remember himself. I was hooked. And anyway, a friend of mine, a musician, said he saw an ad in a paper about a group that was promulgating this philosophy in England, in London. I called the number and went down for an interview and joined this cult. It was a cult, let's face it, it was a cult. It had a guru, an American charismatic leader. I joined it in London. I'm not going to go into the details. There are several tenets of it about perception that are very important. One is that man is not a complete being. Okay? Second, man can become a complete being. Third, man is a stimulus response machine. I believe that too. And fourth, we have an imagination about who we are and about who other people are. And I believe this at the time, and I still believe it now, actually. So I joined this cult. I joined a cult in London in 1978. I was 25. And there I met my wife. There I had my child. I moved to Vancouver, BC in 1983. To be a leader of a center of this cult. It was very interesting. Is that the countdown clock? Are you kidding me? Okay, she's for real, apparently. So I'm not going to go into the all the details about this cult. There was an enigmatic leader who called himself the teacher, who actually turned out to be a wanker. Imagine that. But the tenets of the system I still believe in. And 1 minute and 10 seconds. I played tennis with this leader. He was very reclusive, and he only had people around him who actually ended up being his slaves. And he was a homosexual, or he was a power tripped guy. You know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolutely. He let me play tennis with him, and then the the thing that happened, and this is the most important thing that I'm going to say. One day we were playing tennis and the ball... No, actually, I was playing on a different court than him. And he was playing tennis with the some other guys that he was fucking. And the ball came over to me on the other court. And a voice in my head... Normally, everybody would go, get the ball for the teacher, you know. And something in my head said, don't pick up the ball. And I didn't. Subsequently, I was kicked out of the cult, and here I am. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. William Shakespeare.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. Factandfictionbooks.com. The Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. More at tophatlounge.com. Jonathan Marquise is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at subjecttogravity.com. That's subject, the number 2, gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. More at ranchhanddesign.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockin'Rudy's.com. Bija Body, fair trade organic beauty tea blends. Scientifically advanced, holistically intelligent anti-aging body care products. More at bijabody.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 10th here at the Top Hat. The theme is currently undecided. If you would like to tell a story in the fall quarter, please call 203-4683 to pitch your story idea. Thank you for listening.